You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM KCSU Fort Collins for Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I'm Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. And we are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, learn about how students can decide what is in their libraries at CSU in Campus News with Tyler.
And learn what the city of Fort Collins will do to address the issue of e-bikes left blocking sidewalks in Local with Lee.
Then a new gas station opened along I-25 not far from Fort Collins, and fans attended their opening in style. Learn more with Tyler in Life and Events.
Later on in the broadcast, thousands of Coloradoans were left temporarily without power, and hundreds of flights were canceled in Denver. More on that in National with Lee. And with that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. Colorado State University has led a large multi-year study on children with Down syndrome. The National Institutes of Health funded the grant with $6.2 million. The study hopes to improve intervention planning and early clinical care for children with Down syndrome. Specifically, the study is looking to help young children with Down syndrome in the early years of childhood. 225 children will be studied, with some children as young as 18 months old. The results of the study may help with screening techniques for issues such as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or autism. 1 in 700 babies born in the United States are born with Down syndrome. This survey also comes just before World Down Syndrome Day, which is tomorrow. Have you ever wondered who decides what books and materials are in the library here at CSU? Well, partially it comes from us students. Student organizations at CSU will be deciding on picking materials for the Morgan Library on campus. CSU libraries have started the process of purchasing materials for the second annual student organizational grants. Requests can range from books, materials, journals, and more, such as models. However, not all the requests will be granted, but students can make a difference in what materials are in their library. And more about student decisions and changes. The Associated Students of Colorado State University elections will be held soon. Campaigning began yesterday, and debates will be held soon here on campus. Voting begins on April 1st and will end on April 3rd. The Rocky Mountain Review will take you through these elections and provide results. Stay tuned in the next few weeks to learn more. Coming up now is Lee with your local news here in the Northern Colorado area. Learn more about a homicide in Fort Collins that could have been related to gang violence.
In local news, those orange spin e-bikes and scooters you've probably seen around town are a valuable service for many people in Fort Collins. Ideally, those bikes and scooters make it easier to travel by removing the barrier of not having a bike of your own, for example. But sometimes they actually end up being barriers themselves. The issue of e-bikes and e-scooters blocking sidewalks is maybe a pet peeve for some locals, but for others, especially people with disabilities, the issue is much more frustrating. Parking a spin bike or scooter on the sidewalk can cause some serious accessibility issues, blocking access for people in wheelchairs or those with low vision. The City of Fort Collins and the city's e-bike vendor Spin are definitely aware of the issue, and last week, the city announced how it would continue trying to make it better, based on a local study designed by Connor Stevens, who is a CSU student in the Master of Public Health program. The study confirmed that the changes the city's made in the past have been working to reduce the problem, and the city says it'll continue trying to do so based on what they found. So far, here's what Fort Collins and Spin are doing to address those issues from improper parking. The city installed 14 bike and scooter parking boxes, and riders are incentivized with some return in ride credit if they end their ride in a box. If riders park improperly, Spin will give a first-time warning, and if it keeps happening, the rider could be suspended or even permanently banned. From last week's announcement, the city says that Spin keeps a close watch on areas where the problem happens. If you find that a Spin bike or scooter is blocking access for you or others, you can actually report that to Spin directly by texting them at 970-387-2799, and somebody should be able to come out fairly quickly to move it out of the way. Fort Collins police are investigating a homicide that happened over spring break, and as of last Monday, detectives are still looking for the suspect. Police are looking for 31-year-old Adrian Pacheco. In the photo police provided, Pacheco has distinct face tattoos, including black-filled upside-down triangles near his cheeks under his eyes. Police say he's considered armed and dangerous, and if anyone sees him, they're asking to call 911 and to not approach him. Police have a warrant for his arrest on accusations for first-degree murder. The investigation is ongoing, but so far police say the homicide might have been a gang-related shooting. On Saturday the 9th, police got a late-night call about someone getting shot at an apartment northwest of Old Town. Police say when they arrived to the scene, the victim was pronounced dead on site. Police have not publicly identified the victim, but what is known is that he was an adult male. Officials also say they will not be releasing any details about why they think the homicide is gang-related, and any gang names will not be released as the investigation continues as a precaution to prevent any retaliation. On Thursday, a Fort Collins Safeway employee was charged with sexual offenses involving the grocery store's food, and the suspect is the same one facing numerous other sexual charges that he was arrested for last month. This is the latest update in an investigation police started last summer, where there were several reports of a man exposing himself in front of coffee shops around Fort Collins. In connection to that string of indecent exposures, police arrested 32-year-old Stephen Masalta. Looking into Masalta's home and life further, police say they've found evidence for more felony crimes, including this most recent finding of obscene behavior during his time working at the Safeway on Harmony Road. Masalta worked at that store for about 2 months from December into last month. Officials say Safeway has been cooperative and responsive in working with police. So far, Masalta is facing a total of 36 sexual offense charges, including the 14 counts of indecent exposure he was first arrested for and 16 counts of attempted sexual assault on a child. Police are still investigating Masalta, and officials believe there are still more victims that could turn up as more is uncovered. Those were your local news updates. My name is Lee Zimpel. Coming up, Tyler will be back with Life and Events, and you'll get a preview on a special episode from KCSU Sports Podcast. All of that right after the break.
KCSU is supported by The Armory, supporting live and local music in Fort Collins. Upcoming shows include Sun, June, and Wild Pink on March 20th. Tickets and info at armoryfoco.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Rocky Mountain Review. I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Life and Events portion of the show. Rocky Mountain National Park will be bringing back a tradition that adds even more art to the natural beauty of the Rockies. The National Park will be returning its Artists in Residence program, which was an annual tradition from 1984 to 2017. The program has been on pause for the last 6 years, but will now return. Artists can apply by submitting a summary of their creative work. Artists will then choose between a 2- and 3-week program that will house them in a cabin. The program allows artists of all ages and gives them an opportunity to connect with nature as well as other artists. This story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. Yesterday saw the grand opening of a Texas gas station chain that brings the tradition of everything is bigger in Texas to Colorado. Bucky's saw its first customers yesterday in the grand opening, featuring a ribbon cutting and other fun events for Bucky's enthusiasts to enjoy. The gas station will feature 116 gas pumps, 12 electric vehicle charging stations, and snacks upon snacks. The gas station opened officially at 6 a.m. yesterday and is located about half an hour south of Fort Collins on Interstate 25. Contributions for this story come from CBS 11. Colorado State University's International 5K Color Rush returns for its second year. Join fellow runners this Saturday, March 23rd, starting at 10 a.m. You can get your color on in the front of Laurel Hall. Tomorrow inside the Laurie Student Center will be the Dean's Democracy in Leadership event. The panel will see three deans of CSU discuss how they engage in democracy in their leadership. That event will be held in room 386 of the Laurie Student Center, starting at 11 a.m. Also on campus this week is the return of Ram Jam. The Ram Jam Revival will be held on the west lawn of the Laurie Student Center and will see 10 tons of snow put onto the lawn with student skiing and snowboarding competitions. The event will also have music, food, trucks, and more. The last Ram Jam happened in 2009, and the Once Thought Lost event returns for students on campus this year. The event is free for anyone to watch or participate in. And for some music in Fort Collins, you can catch Nightcap at the Coast tomorrow night. The rock band out of Austin, Texas will be performing at 8 p.m. That's all for your Life and Events section. Coming up is a preview of KCSU's sports podcast covering the NCAA men's basketball tournament and our own Rams who play tonight in the tournament. That'll be playing in full after the Rocky Mountain Review, but for now, here's a short bit of that podcast.
Going on, everybody. This is a special edition of the KCSU Sports Podcast. It's a special time of the year. March is here. I think we can all agree the best sports month of the year. Obviously, Caleb Allen, Austin Martin, way down at the end of your screen. We have our sports producer, Max Eber, and a special guest, Damon Cook from Rocky Mountain Student Media's Collegian. Fellas, how we doing? It's been a long week. We're getting ready for March Madness here. What's going on, Damon and company?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm excited for the best, like, 4 days. I love the round of 64 and round of 32. Best 4 days of sports.
Should be a lot of fun. Before we jump too far ahead in NCAA, Austin, you and I just got back from the Mountain West Championships. It was a wild week. I think the tournament was probably, if I can speak for all of us, what we all expected it to be. Now, maybe the winner, not so much. But, Austin, just your experience this last week covering both the men's and women's side of Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of fun. I mean, my first time down there, and I think the Mountain West Conference Tournament lived up to the hype. All season long, we're talking about, you know, this is going to be a multi-bid conference, you know, 5+, 6+, and we did get the 6+. We'll get into more of that in a sec, too, but I thought it lived up to the hype. Not only was the Mountain West Conference tourney ridiculous, across the country, all the conference tourneys seemed like they had some crazy moments going on. I think the craziest one, I forget what the conference was, where the dude, they were up one and they got a foul. They didn't need a foul, and they ended up making the free throws and stealing the conference tourney away from them. I thought that was like one of the craziest moments of that whole weekend, but a lot of fun moments. And I think the Mountain West Conference was one of the best tournaments.
Damon, looking at the Mountain West Conference, it was a week of some of the highest level basketball in the country. I mean, obviously New Mexico winning it. Well, I don't think I was on many people's bingo cards, but who did you guys have going into the tournament? Were you surprised by the run that, I mean, I've been saying for months that a team that was playing on Wednesday wasn't going to win that tournament. I don't think I was crazy by saying that. I think a lot of people could find agreement in that, but here we are a few days removed, and a team that was playing 4 games in 4 days ended up winning the entire tournament.
Yeah. I was super surprised as well by the fact that, UNM came away with that. It was not who I had predicted. I kind of, going into that, I didn't think it was going to be San Diego State, but having it turn out to be the Lobos, which honestly, the things I saw from the Lobos throughout the season wasn't inspiring of a conference tournament. So I was really surprised that they won. Going into the conference tournament, I think I had the blanking now. I had either had SDSU getting it or my pick would have been Nevada. I thought Nevada had been pretty good all season, but just didn't work out. It was actually really good to see CSU beat them for the first time this season. So
Damon, your thoughts on the Mountain West Conference and what New Mexico did over 4 days?
I thought the Mountain West tournament was kind of as advertised. We knew the Mountain West was super, super competitive all year long, and it felt like all the games kind of delivered in my expectations. I wasn't surprised that UNM won at all. They were kind of a dark horse team for me, kind of. They had a low floor, high ceiling kind of potential, I would say. And I think they hit their ceiling. And I think what we saw out of them was just really great basketball and who they could potentially be for a good chunk of the future. Originally, I thought CSU or Nevada was going to win. I didn't think one of the SDSU, Utah State, UNLV teams would win. I just thought they would go and beat up on each other. And by the time they got there into the championship, they'd be too tired to win. But I wasn't surprised at all that UNM won.
Yeah, and the way that this entire tournament kind of plays out, I had Utah State, by the way, to win the entire thing. If I was paying more attention, I probably wouldn't have picked them. I don't feel very often that the regular season winner, I don't feel that they often go on to win that tournament. I always feel there's, you know, something that happens crazy, you know. Nonetheless, that was my pick heading into the thing, and they got bounced before they found that game on Saturday. So congrats to New Mexico, a big one. But this entire tournament kind of, I think, bolstered, you know, a lot of us at least thought prior to Selection Sunday, thought that this tournament was going to boost up the Mountain West, prop up the Mountain West. A lot of people thought CSU, if they win one game in the tournament, they should be a lock to make the tournament in the 64, not the 68. A lot of people said that if New Mexico could win a couple of games in the tournament, they'll be locked in. A lot of people said the same thing about Boise and Nevada and all these other teams that made the tournament one way or another this week following Selection Sunday. But now here we are. And it just seems like, yet again, there's Mountain West disrespect when it comes to the seeding and stuff. Austin, we'll start with you on that.
Yeah, I mean, now we're looking at it because after the Rams won against San Jose State, it was like, oh, they're for sure going to be in, no doubt about it. And you're looking at that Nevada game. What if that went sour? We're probably not in the tournament. Yep. Seeing how everything happened, so like a lot of these teams, they definitely needed those wins. I'm surprised on how Nevada fell, how they did in the tournament. I know they were one of the hotter teams going into the Mountain West tournament. And then just seeing Boise State and Colorado State in the play-in, I think that was like one of the more shocking moments and takeaways from the entire bracket, including those Big East teams. But I mean, just I felt like the Mountain West got absolutely disrespected, especially with how great of a season they had, and the non-conference, it was pretty solid, stacked up to these other teams and other conferences. So it was very shocking. I was in disbelief for a while.
Again, that was a sneak peek of the KCSU Sports Podcast that will play after the Rocky Mountain Review. Stay tuned to hear the full podcast. And now coming is Lee covering national news. Learn about thousands of Coloradoans who went without power recently.
This is Dave from Mustard Plug, and this is a true story. I've been in Fort Collins for 2 weeks, and 3 days in, I programmed my radio to KCSU. It's number one in my pre-programmed radio dial. Program is yours because it rocks. Yeah!
Welcome back from the break. I'm Lee Zimpel, and these are your national news updates. Last week's snowstorm here at home was bizarre enough to catch national attention. It was fairly short-lived, but still a bit intense for many Coloradans. It was one of the more memorable bouts of snow this season. The storm left thousands in Metro Denver and the Front Range temporarily without power, and it closed a vital pass along I-70. On Thursday, schools and government offices across the state were given at least one snow day, and even though snow is good for the ski industry, the conditions were even extreme enough to shut down multiple ski resorts for a day. Then about 800 flights were canceled and 200 delayed at the Denver airport. That amount of impact from one snowstorm is not completely foreign to Colorado, but its timing and intensity might have come as a surprise. The storm first moved in Wednesday night last week, and it delivered up to 20 inches in the metro area. Here in the foothills, it snowed up to 4 feet in some areas. Despite all that accumulation, for the most part, Colorado's main roads are fairly clear now, and that goes to show just how jarring last week's weather was. U.S. farms have been growing more reliant on contract workers for labor, and those workers are increasingly facing extreme weather and heat. Contract workers on farms are usually there for seasonal help to do manual labor outside, and oftentimes that means they're likely to work on the front lines of climate change. Climate change significantly impacts all farm workers, but based on the latest U.S. agricultural census, farm contract workers are a key group to focus on. The USDA showed a spike in the number of farms across the country using migrant labor for contract work. According to Alexis Guild, who is with the nonprofit Farm Worker Justice, migrant contract workers can offer skilled agriculture labor, and because they could be working far away from their families or traveling from farm to farm, it's easier for labor abuses to slip through the cracks, and it's harder to hold farmers accountable. Some states do have some heat regulations in place for farm workers, but at the federal level, the regulations have not kept up with climate change. There are no federal rules about heat exposure at work in the U.S. yet, and while workers are legally able to make a formal complaint, migrant workers, especially those on temporary visas, can find it tough to decide whether to speak up or not, because farmers might decide to just bring in replacement workers for the next season. As climate change continues to introduce harsher conditions and extreme heat, advocates for farm workers are hoping they can call for better regulations on behalf of those who might not be able to advocate for their own rights without the threat of losing an important job. That'll wrap up your national news for now. Information for these stories come from the Associated Press. We'll take a break, and then Tyler will be back with some updates in sports.
I'm DJ Chaos. You're listening to 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University Rams Sports Update. The time has come and the madness begins. Brace yourselves for March Madness as your Colorado State University Rams men's basketball team will be playing tonight. The Rams finished up their season with 22 regular season wins and are now fighting for the number 10 seed in the Midwest region of the NCAA bracket. The Rams will be going up against Virginia, who also won 22 games this season. The two teams face off in the first four game. ESPN predicts a Virginia victory over the Rams, with the Rams having a 39.8% chance to win tonight. If the Rams can win against Virginia and then go on to win against Texas, they will face off against either Tennessee or St. Peter's. Again, that's only if the Rams can win their next game and then another game after that. The Rams game starts at 7:10 p.m. tonight, and this story comes from USA Today. Just down the road in Boulder, the Colorado University men's basketball team is in a similar position as the Rams. They face off in one of the first four games tomorrow night against the Boise State Broncos. The winner of that game will go on to face the number 7 seed Florida team in the South Division of the bracket. The Buffs wrapped up their season with one more win than the Rams at 23 wins. Boulder is predicted to win that game with a 52.7% chance of winning, according to ESPN Analytics. That game starts at 7:10 p.m. tomorrow night. This story comes from CBS News. And finally, we have a champion here at Colorado State University with Maya Lesner. Lesner won the NCAA Women's Indoor Shot Put National Championship. The championship was held in Boston, and Lesner was favored to win it all. She delivered by bringing home the track and field championship title. Lesnar's winning throw measured 18.53 meters. This story comes from ABC Denver 7. That's all for your sports update, but come back Thursday for a deeper dive into sports with your KCSU sports department, and stay tuned after the Rocky Mountain Review to hear their podcast on the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Coming up next is Lee with your weather report for Fort Collins.
I hope it's been a good first couple days back to campus after spring break. The way break ended with that snowstorm might have been a bit of a bummer for some, but on the bright side, this week looks like it could pay us back with some warmer, clear weather. Today was a generically warm day with a sunny sky, a light breeze, and a high of about 66 degrees. Tonight, the sky will stay pretty clear and the breeze will also stay gentle. We'll see temps drop to a low of 33 degrees. Then on Wednesday, we'll see another sunny sky, but it'll be just a tad cooler than today. We'll see a high of 61 and some more calm winds. Wednesday night, it'll be mostly clear again with a low of 31. Thursday, it'll start out sunny again with a high of 66 and some light and variable wind. But in the afternoon, that wind will pick up a little bit. We could see gusts as high as 23 miles an hour. Thursday night will cool to a low of 33. We'll see some clouds this time and it'll be breezy. But so far, there does not seem to be any chance for rain or snow. We'll go over the rest of the forecast when we come back for the next episode of the Rocky Mountain Review, which will be on Thursday at 4 p.m. Information comes from the National Weather Service. And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.